is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios. We alter your locus aurelius by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. This warms your brain to a tasty and toasty 420 kelvins to keep a sin flood of statism out of your head. Can you feel it? Is it working? Can you feel it, John and Blue? Blue?
Yes.
Are you lost?
Yes.
What are you doing here?
I got drunk. You wandered into the wrong radio show again.
Oh, well,
fight me.
We'll have to excuse you this time. As always, the Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org. All right, so we are back. This is the Freedom Fiends. I am Jeremy, joined tonight by John, and as I mentioned, Lou, who's usually never here on a Sunday. But what's up, gentlemen? How are we tonight?
I wanted
to drop in and visit because what was the last time I dropped in on a Sunday night? Over the past month or so, I've stumbled into the wrong radio show on Monday night, Tuesday night. Of course, I always stumble into Wednesday night, but I haven't been on a Sunday night, and it's been a long time since I've spoken to either of you. I think, John, yeah. Last time I spoke to you was from the Midwest Peace of Liberty Fest last June, probably.
Yeah.
Maybe last time we did a show together.
We were talking about the Builder Bears.
Yeah. Yeah, the Build-A-Bear group, or Build-A-Burger. Yeah, and I was using bison. But anyway, and Jeremy, it's been forever since I've spoken to you, so.
I know. It's a shame, man.
You don't even come on Wednesday nights when I don't have a co-host. You make me do solo shows.
I make you.
That's impressive, man. I heard about that, and I was really impressed.
Well, it's because I'm usually doing two shows a week myself as it is.
Yeah, I'm busting your chops.
No, I know.
The solo shows were not because of you. Those were my own thing.
No, I know. Although I mentioned that, I don't know if it was the other night or when I was talking to Michael, I was kind of jealous because, I mean, you did it. I really loved them. I've listened to the ones you've done so far, and they've been great. But I was thinking, like, I could do one of these because we've canceled a bunch of the Tuesday night shows because somebody always backs out of me in the last minute and I don't have anything prepped. And I'm like, I at least have to have something prepared because I know myself. I'll just start to wander and it may get messy if I don't have some notes. And I finally got a show all prepped and I told Michael, I'm like, all right, the next time this happens, I'm ready to go, man. And then sure enough, Daryl goes ahead and does one.
Oh gosh, yeah, it's kind of crazy that way. But well, I think having like a single subject prepared, like when I did Breaking the Law with Bastiat, I'd worked on that for a little while. I don't think I could have done a rigor show where I go through about five or six different articles. I had to do that one time for six of the eight segments, and it wasn't super smooth. As a matter of fact, I wound up using most of the time on a single article. But I think I enjoy the single subject a little bit more. And it was nice to have Randy come on and contribute some of his thoughts on Bastiat Part 2, The Law Breaks You. So, yeah, good stuff.
Yeah, that was a good one, too. Yeah, well, like I said, I agree. I think it's definitely easier. That's why the show I prepped is on one subject. Hopefully I'll get to do that one soon. We'll see. Actually, wait, Tuesday night's coming up. I expect somebody to bail on me any minute, so we'll see. What about you, John? What's up with you, man?
Well, I've just been working on editing that book that I finished, and I got my first book, the voice actor, finished the audio version of that. So I've just been kind of getting all my stuff in order now that... Now that I'm back on my feet.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm supposed to ask you about your new, as yet unreleased book. A friend of ours, I would imagine, from the interwebs, sent me an email message earlier today and says, hey, you need to ask John about that. And I says, oh, I'm only on Wednesday nights. And then I looked at my email and it's like, oh, wow, I am on tonight. So I'm asking you about your new book. Tell us about it.
Well, it is actually the true story of some crazy stuff I lived through when I was basically my adventures in the black market as a rave promoter. now that the statute of limitations are up. And, you know, I changed the names and all that, but it's a pretty wild story, man, and I'm pretty excited to tell it. I'm actually going to try to get it published, like, legit by a big publisher this time.
Nice.
Oh, cool. It's kind of interesting that you mentioned the statute of limitations. I was watching this video of it was an interview with this guy, and he does all kinds of charitable work, and, you know, like feeding the hungry and providing shelter to the homeless and things like that. It was really interesting because they're talking about some of the stuff that he does, but then as far as like his other good deeds, he couldn't talk about them until the statute of limitations has been surpassed.
That's interesting.
So what does it say that you have to wait for the statute of limitations to pass before you can talk about the acts of charity and serving your fellow man, because it's illegal to do those things?
Oh, that's
insane. Does not surprise me, especially, you know, these days where it's illegal to feed the homeless and such.
Yeah.
I figure we'll get to a point, is probably not too far off, to where every single human action will either be prohibited or mandatory. One or the other.
We're getting close.
Wow, that's profound.
you want something profound? Here's something for all the Christian conservatives out there that demand that people follow all the laws, all the business owners follow the laws. So with all the licenses, permits, and regulations and everything that exists out there, does that fall in the category of not being able to buy and sell unless you take the mark of the beast?
Oh, you know they don't take those things literally when it's not convenient for them, Lou.
Exactly.
When it is convenient, though, watch out.
Well, I mean, I was going to say it's funny. It's not funny, but the you brought up the whatchamacallit, the homeless, you know, being able to feed the homeless thing. We actually just did the Seas of Liberty that actually just, I think it's released now. Did I release it today? Yeah, I released it today. It's out now. people can go listen to it. We actually talked about this exclusively because there's a situation. Actually, former Fiend Shane Radliff tipped me off to it first. He did a short interview with the guy himself, a chef out in Detroit, who got his stuff hijacked by a SWAT team who came and took all his cooking supplies because he dared to feed the homeless without the proper paperwork. It's just...
Hey, you can't pass out food unless you take the mark of the beast.
Exactly, man.
No, no buying, selling, or giving it away.
Exactly.
It makes perfect sense. I think that's a pretty good translation.
that could be a show title. Government licensing is the mark of the beast.
Yeah, let me write that down. I should, because I'll forget it by the time we hit the commercial break.
I'll forget it before John gets his next sentence out.
That's actually probably there more realistic for me too. But I was trying, you know, I was trying to give myself a little credit, Lou. Oh man.
So yeah. And anything else that you want to tell us about this upcoming book, other than the vague generalization of your alleged dabblings in the black market?
Well, it was a fun kind of experience writing that, because it was my first time. You know, my other books have been just strictly research and philosophy, so I've never told a story before, you know what I mean? And, you know, this was really fun, especially learning how to do the dialogue and everything. And I think that, you know, it made me realize a lot about the experiences that I went through and, you know, the impact that I had in that area. Because I didn't feel too great about things because the business failed, I think, because I was too political about everything, and I was getting in everybody's faces too much, and I wasn't really following the
trends.
So you're
being a libertarian. You're being
exactly. Yeah.
There's a meme of somebody like walking through the park, and then somebody has like a trumpet or something like that, and they're blowing the trumpet in the walker's ear, and it's like me after I became a libertarian or something along those lines.
Yeah, following the person just won't shut up about it.
Yeah, so being like a vegan, atheist, born again Christian,
CrossFitter,
libertarian,
flat earther.
Yeah, and when you run a business, when you run a business and you try to like use that as a platform for your beliefs, like sometimes that works out and sometimes it doesn't.
Case in point, myself.
the political dog walker.
When some of my clients knew I was an anarchist, it was all right. When all of them knew I was an anarchist, well, you know, some of them were a little judgmental.
Well, especially when they found out that you hated firemen.
Yes, of course.
Yeah. When you were one of those fireman-hating anarchists.
But I thought you were a cap hater.
No. I'm a fireman hater, dude. Come on, Lou. Get the story. get the slander right, Lou. Yeah, no, it was a fireman who died, but you know, of course, what I've had to explain so many times that people lost on the whole ordeal was I wasn't talking about just him. I was talking about everybody who gets the special treatment that the rest of us don't get that we have to pay for. You know. Anyway, not going down that road again.
Oh, come on. It went so well the last time.
Get off my lawn.
Exactly. Out of my driveway, off my lawn, whatever. I actually should turn that to a flag. Jim Jesus actually made like he made a meme like a meme flag out of that with me you know, the hippity hoppity get off my property with the little my head on the whatchamacallit, what the don't tread on me snake. No, on the don't tread on me snake. I should actually get made and fly out in front of my house.
Yeah, I'm sure that would go over pretty well.
Well, here, no, of course. I'll wait till I get to my new location. Then we'll see. You know.
Okay. Do you have a new location all set up and picked out and ready to go, or is this something that?
Oh no, I have a general area. I haven't actually picked a place yet. I'm in like that horrible position where I need to sell my house before I can actually do anything. So I'm juggling a lot of stuff, but yeah, I hear the music. So maybe we'll explore that when we get back. Maybe we won't. Anyway, we're going to the market. We shall return.
Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone proof.
Are you tired of stinky socialists trying to take over America?
And are you also tired of theorists talking about the free market as a cure-all for every problem with no firsthand experience of how the market actually works?
Well, the Truth Justice American Way app gives you wall-to-wall shows by hosts who not only understand the market, but tell you how they make money in a variety of patriotic endeavors.
The Truth Justice American Way app for Android is 24/7 streaming audio content on the topics of finance, liberty, self-defense, and technology.
All the hosts are all American Americans from all over America.
And the app is made in Wyoming, the cowboy state.
Because you should buy American, even with free Android apps.
Truth Justice American Way. Useful information, compelling personalities, and superior American audio quality.
Go on the Google Play Store or the Amazon App Store and search Truth Justice American Way.
God bless each and every one of you, and God bless America.
Back. What were we talking about? We were left. Oh, me. That's right. Yeah. Yeah. So my situation, it's a royal pain in the butt. I still have to, I was saying, you know, relocating. Yeah. I'm definitely getting out of here. Hopefully soon. Maybe. Court's still ongoing. I made a video about that the other day. It's, getting buried by Facebook, but you know, some people have seen it apparently.
I saw it.
Yeah. So, yeah, you know, same old, going to continue. Although now we're supposedly moving towards trial, so we'll see. But found out, you know, the fact that they still really don't have any evidence against me. So that's always good, but you never know what can happen. But, yeah, my whole thing about moving is I'd love to be able to have something set up already and just be able to, like, just transition smoothly. But no, of course not. It's my life. I have I have to sell the house first in order to have enough money to move and even to really realistically find a place and put, you know, first, last down, what, you know, first, last security, whatever I have to, because as much as I would like to, well, I don't know, I'm still torn on owning another place, but I think for right now, just because we're going to have to move in a hurry, you know, and kind of figure some things out as we go, it really does make the most sense to rent. Rather than, you know, just purchasing something in a state that I've never actually been to.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense. Yeah, dip your toes in the water, figure out what's going to go on, and then you can get your little yak farm going out in the country. And
No, not yaks. That's Nick's thing. I'm doing bison.
Oh, okay. Well, whatever.
Yeah. Hey, they're completely different animals, Lou.
Yeah. Well, I can understand you don't want to mess with Nick's IP. Imaginary property.
Imaginary.
I like that.
Yeah. No, I just, well, I mean, I know what bison tastes like. It's delicious. Because Nick still refuses to send me any, even though I've heard, by the way, Nick, if you ever, I know he doesn't listen to too many of these, but if, you know, anybody else listens and talks to Nick and wants to, you know, rub it in with him. I heard the guys in the ANCAP barbershop the other day talking about the fact they were eating his yak jerky as they were doing their show. And I'm like, really? Really? You sent those backwards Barber Hicks from Alabama jerky before you sent me, one of your co-hosts, the guy who went to the airport to pick you up at Pork Fest and get lost with you and cross state bounds multiple times, which at the time I believe was actually a felony because he was a minor. You know, who was also complicit and helped you with all the commie mooching that he did at said Pork Fest, where he, you know, pretty much lived off the rest of us. Come on, man. I still don't get any yak jerky. I mean, that's just messed up.
he was kind of like a little trash panda there.
He really was.
Yeah. Yeah, I caught him rooting around in the dumpster one night looking for scraps.
The trash panda one year to support fest.
Yeah. As a matter of fact,
a different one.
When I caught Nick rooting around in the refuse, he hissed at me. Now, he will be at the Midwest Peace of Liberty Fest this year, and he's going to be shipping yak meat to Bear Saskatchewan. I don't know if it's going to be done in jerky. I don't know if it's going to be like roast or something like that, frozen. He's going to put in dry ice and ship it to Bear Saskatchewan, whatever. But he will be at Liberty Fest. And by the way, for those of you that want to meet the Yak Boy, then, you know, feel free to come out to Midwest Peace of Liberty Fest. And you can round up your friends and family and get them registered at mplfest.org.
It'd be really nice if they open the crypto payment.
They're working on it right now.
I know. I went to the website. I hadn't heard anything in a little while, and I needed to go check the website for something else because I've been shifting all of the Seas of Liberty content over to Steemit, and I was updating all the show links and stuff, and I came across an episode we were talking to somebody from there about the one of the years, and I was like, oh, let me go check to see if they started the sale yet, and I'm like, oh, it's on sale, but oh, no crypto yet.
Yeah, one of the interesting things is now that there's more options out there than just Bitcoin, now that there's more popular options out there, I think they're going to be looking to expanding. So there will be the early bird discount, and I'm almost 100% certain that there will be a crypto discount also. How the crypto discount's going to work, I don't really know off the top of my head, but it will happen.
Well, one of the discounts is great. Two of them is even better, obviously. But as long as there's even the one's fine with me. I just prefer to pay in crypto because that's how I've paid the past couple of years. But I'm really excited to hear that because it's funny. I was actually talking to our other host, who's usually here tonight, but Shane. I was talking to him earlier through Telegram, and he was mentioning, you know, he was kind of like joking and being like, "Well, I kind of do know the treasurer, so maybe I can speak to her." And I was like, "Well, I'm like, it'd be really great if they could expand it to other coins this year, you know, not having this conversation with you yet." So that's really great to hear because that's exactly what I was hoping to hear.
Making the world a better place with Great Liberty Media is not easy, but it is effective. Making the world a better place with Great Liberty Media doesn't even pay very much at all. Sometimes we even have to pay out of our own pockets. But we do it because we have to. For you. And for the children. Here at the Freedom Fiends, we've been producing amazing and effective Liberty Media every day since 2011. Radio shows, podcasts, movies, music, cryptocurrencies, and yes, even memes. The Freedom Fiends also run the world's only Liberty Media Teaching Hospital and the world's only Voluntarist Media University. Our hands-on classes educate and shape hundreds of the great Liberty speakers of today and tomorrow, and they, in turn, will teach and inspire others. Heck, even the ones who got fired or quit in a huff still hold useful skills and equipment to hone their own Liberty Media and teach others. Freedom Fiends Media and our students' media is a rising groundswell to help create happy Liberty lives around the world and maybe even on to Alpha Centauri. Kitty cats and puppies like living in Liberty homes more than in statist homes. So please donate to the Freedom Fiends, if only for the kitties. Hashtag please donate Freedom Fiends, think of the kitties.
I've got to get up to speed on all this. Kids are talking about
cryptos, man. Well, it's good. We're talking about cryptos. We actually got cut off. There was a technical error and we got rolled right into the break. Nobody heard it. So, you know, nobody's fault. Whatever. Moving on. I don't know exactly where I got cut off when we hit the market, but we were talking about the Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest and the fact that they're hopefully going to be opening up the payment options to more cryptos, and that's what I was talking about, I guess, where we left off. Like I said, I don't know exactly where. But yeah, man, I'm psyched about that part because that's how I prefer to pay. That's how I've paid the past 2 years. And like I said, the early bird bonuses, of course, are... Because I was ready the other day when as soon as I saw that it was open, like, I was ready to pay right then. I'm like, yep, I'm ready. Sign me up.
Yeah, I've paid for, let's see now, my Liberty Fest tickets, my Agora Fest tickets, pretty much, aside from, I didn't get a ticket to Pork Fest a couple of years ago because we were doing the show from there, but that's the one
we
thing
got
that...
free tickets,
that
man.
Yeah.
Where's Agora Fest?
That's done by a group out of the Minneapolis-St. Paul area.
Okay, I remember Minnesota. That. That was in the castle-looking place. I saw the picture of it or something.
That was the second one. As a matter of fact, Derek's friend Christina was performing up there.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so and I met her at that one. That place got sold. It was a Catholic retreat, and it's a real nice place, too. Nice little camping area. Pretty close to bathrooms and everything, but that got closed. Then they did in Wisconsin the next year, which was perfect for me because it actually knocked a couple hours off my trip. And then this past year they did it in South Dakota, which I wasn't able to go because I didn't have enough vacation time, and it added several more hours to my trip. So, but anyway,
no point.
Yeah, so I use crypto to pay for festivals. That's generally the one thing that I always use it for. But back to Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest, it's going to be a pretty good one this year. Got people like Dana
huge,
Martin coming back.
Huge stars.
Yeah, huge stars. As Carl Sagan would say, there's like millions of them. But you got Dana Martin coming back. Prof. CJ will be back. I'm pretty excited about him. CJ Kimmer from the Dangerous History podcast.
Always fun to talk to him.
Yeah.
That's a good podcast.
It's a very good podcast. It's one of my favorites.
I was listening to it and didn't even realize he was an anarchist until like the fourth episode. And I was like, I think this guy's into the kind of stuff I'm into.
And he's a college professor. Thank you for your service, sir.
Yes. Twisting the minds of the youth. Like, which one was it, Aristotle or Socrates? Which one got poisoned for poison?
That was Socrates. Okay. Socrates.
Socrates.
Yeah. Excellent.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Prof. CJ will be there. Brett Bonat from the School Sucks Project will be there.
Yes, very exciting.
And this is really exciting. I've never met the guy. I'd never talked to him before.
Oh, me too.
Scott Horton of antiwar.com,
the
walking, talking war encyclopedia.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
He's awesome. I'm super psyched about that. I listen to his show religiously now. You know, it's like always one of the first ones I go to when I go to my podcast queue. So I'm definitely psyched to meet him.
Also, Luis Fernando Mises from Emancipated Human will be there. Is it Emancipated Human? Is that
yes.
his?
Yes. Okay. Yep, and that's another one I'm actually super excited about. Luis and I have been friends on Facebook for like 4 years, and we've actually had he's done my show a couple of times, but him and I've also had like long conversations in different settings and everything. We've never met. So this is finally I'm going to get to meet this guy after all this time.
And also returning will be Jim Cunningham, and I met him at Porkfest a couple years ago, and I was down in his area for a conference a couple years ago, and we got a chance to get together for some wings one evening, and just a heck of a nice guy, and his kids are cool too, but he's done presentations on the Stanford Prison Experiment and Milgram and just all that stuff. He's a psychiatrist.
Yeah,
Jim's awesome.
Jim's a great guy. I got to, what was it? I guess not last year, but the year before he was in Michigan, right? I got to hang out with him there.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's a super smart guy, and I love his insights on a lot of things. He's funny guy too. But yeah, his stuff on the Milgram, because he also did, I think he did Prof CJ's podcast, and he's done a couple other ones where he's talked about it even more extensively on doing interviews there. Really knows his stuff when it comes to that.
I hope so. He is a psychiatrist.
But look at the standard psychiatrists. They don't know these things. They're all idiots. they go by the standard model of everybody else, which is part of why the world's so screwed up. But anyway, also into bees, which is another thing that fascinates me, and I want to pick his brain about once I finally move, because I plan on becoming a beekeeper myself. So.
This may possibly be one of the more important aspects of his visit. He is a beekeeper, and I've gotten honey from him on a couple of different occasions, and it's really good stuff. I know it's difficult to tell the difference between one type of honey and our type.
No, not at all.
In many cases. Well, in certain cases, if you don't know, if you're not like a honey expert. All right, I'm no honey expert. I'll grab the bottle and I'll squeeze it over my face and just let it just fall into my mouth every now and again. But I can't tell you, this came from this type of bee or any of this other stuff. I look at it, I see honey. But you can notice a difference in his. And he's also a brewer. He makes mead and I think beers and just all kinds of neat stuff. So, yeah, really nice guy. Very well-rounded. Oh, and his wife makes soap, too.
Oh, nice. I know a lot of people that are doing that these days. It seems to be a very popular home business. Never used any of it, though. It's supposed to be good. I don't know.
you never use soap? Is that because you're...
No, the homemade, soap.
Okay. All right. I just want to make sure.
Soap blue occasionally, Whenever I drag my
once
rear
a week,
into the
whether
shower.
I need it or not.
Oh, come on. I at least got a couple in there during the week. Give me some credit.
But the important thing is, Liberty Fest is really shaping up to be, as Joe Biden would call it, a big Feinsteining deal. I think that's the best language that we can come up with. It's going to be a big Feinsteining deal because there's going to be a lot of interesting people there to meet, not just speakers, but the attendees. It's a blast. How could I put it? Many people have called it a life-changing experience, to say the least, and I'm one of those people. So take that for what it's worth. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't, I don't know. If you don't think that it is, well, then you probably hate puppies, kittens, and put ketchup on your steak when it's cooked well done. So I don't know.
That's just... Oh, my God.
Yeah. And you could be Canadian. You could be a ham-eating drunkard.
Oh, my God.
Darn Canuckers.
And that's a shout out to Andrew. I know. Well, and for the people playing the home game that don't know about all of our little inside jokes like that. But anyway, yeah, it's going to be a good time. Everybody should try and get out there. Go to mplfest.org. Get your friends and family registered immediately. Round them up.
And spayed and neutered while you're at it. But that's a different story. No, I'm looking forward to it, man. Like I said, as soon as they figure out that crypto thing, because I like you have also, you know, paid for my festivals through crypto. And in fact, yeah, because whether I was paying for tickets or buying things from other people, you know, the minimal amount of crypto I have, of course, NSA, you know, as I've spoken about very publicly, all my other wallets, just, you know, they were on that same boat with my guns that sank. So, you know, unfortunately,
you lost your guns and crypto in a voting accident.
Yeah, you know, so it happens.
Okay, I'm sorry to hear that.
But the little bit I do have, I've been able to use for festivals, and it's been wonderful.
All my drugs were on that boat.
Right, man? I know. It was just like the worst possible circumstances, you know? Lesson learned.
Sending thoughts and prayers.
Thoughts and prayers. Yeah.
Oh gosh.
But yeah, no, like I said, I'm definitely, cuz this will be my third year, and yeah, it's I mean, life changing. It's you know, those aren't terms I normally use, but yeah, I could definitely say that, cuz I've been there twice, and I did it two different ways, cuz the first year it was just me and I got to party and have a lot of fun. Even though I did sleep through the first night and the next morning. But because I tried to drive the whole way there by myself without sleeping. But then the last year I had my kids with me, so it was a completely different experience. But it was definitely, it was even more so, I think it was a life-changing experience, even more so for them, because to this day, my kids are still talking about it. I mean, they started talking about it on the ride home, about what they were going to do next year in Michigan.
Oh,
and
wow.
They have, you know, when we first came back, Jen and I were still, you know, in a, we were peaceful with each other, but we were still, you know, we were still living apart and whatever. But she would tell me that they would just randomly like bring up Michigan, just out of nowhere, and talk in like vivid detail about the experiences they had and who they met and what they did. And it hasn't stopped. I mean, now here we are, what, we're in February. So we're 8 months, eight months later, there's 8-9 months later, they're still going strong about it. So,
wow.
And they can't wait to get back.
Are they going to take baths in the lake this year?
we'll see if we could do that. You know, we'll see if we could convince them. That is one of the things they talked about for the first at least the first 4 months. Most of their stories would either start or end at some point with, and Lou was taking a bath in the lake.
Well, and growing up here in Michigan, when we went camping in the summertime, my father and I, we would go for a week and drop the back seat in the back of the station wagon and sleep in the station wagon. We didn't have a camper, didn't want to mess with tents, particularly during the time of year that the bears would be out. That was kind of a no go. So we slept in the back of the station wagon, and when it came time to take a bath, when you're gone for a week or so, you start to get a little bit funky. So we did what most campers do, and we took a bath in the lake. And apparently your girls had never seen that before.
No.
And they're like, what's up with that silly hippie? He's bathing in the lake.
Yeah, they definitely, well, we don't even have lakes around here, but yeah, that was definitely a first for them. But like I said,
we'll be back. Print market.
Look how much you've imprinted on my children, Lou. Worms.
What a happy Halloween.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
I love the Freedom Fiends, but in this modern busy world, I just don't have time to listen all the way through every episode.
There is a solution. Go to the World Wide Web and log on to digest.freedomfiends.com and subscribe to the Freedom Fiends Digest. Digest.freedomfiends.com has 20-minute best-ofs of each episode.
20-minute best-ofs? Digest.freedomfiends.com sounds great. How much does it cost?
That's the best part. It's free. And if you listen at 1.5 speed, they're only 13 minutes long. Plus, the episodes are only about 15 megs, which is great, because I have a limited data plan.
Wow. I'm at digest.freedomfiends.com right now. It's so simple to use. And anyone who doesn't have 13 minutes to listen to the Freedom Fiends is a big old statist.
I agree with you about people who can't find 13 minutes to listen to the Freedom Fiends Digest. That's digest.freedomfiends.com.
The festival's so good, we're still talking about it as in the commercial breaks. You come back and you hear John talking about it, how he really wants to get there. It is a good time, though.
Very good time will be had by all.
Yeah. It's, much, much needed, especially for me. I definitely need to get away.
A friend of mine, Christopher, a.k.a. Beardy McBeard, refers to it as group therapy because it's a chance to get out with a bunch of really, really cool people that understand you and just they're not judgmental. And it's just such a positive vibe going on there that you can't help but have your spirits lifted up. So, I don't know if that sounds a little bit hokey or whatever, and if it does, I don't care.
It definitely does, but we'll allow it.
I'm all about hokiness.
Yeah.
Gee, thanks.
Well, I concur, so that's why we allow it.
Oh, okay. All right, well, glad to have your permission. I'm glad to have your mark of the beast.
Oh, my goodness. It was not my permission. I was agreeing with you, Lou. Jeez, man. What, this is like, it's like dealing with a woman. Like, even when you agree with them, they still yell at you.
Yeah.
Can't count how many times that's happened to me. That's one of those, what if I ever had a dollar ones I never thought of, that'd be, wow. Anyway, shouldn't say that because Jen actually does listen to the show. Probably get in trouble for that later. But yeah. So.
Oh no, not her. It's like other women that you knew before her, right?
Oh, yeah. Well,
there was no such thing.
Oh, that too. Yeah. Gosh, you tell how out of practice I am with this stuff.
No, please. She's not that naive. You know, she reminds me. She reminds me all the time of how much of a slut I was back in the day.
Can we use that word?
I get reminded of that one pretty often.
If I'm calling myself that, I don't know. Like, I haven't heard anything, so I think it's all right. But anyway, yeah. So, So I guess before we get to closing out the hour here, we probably should, because I know Michael was bugging me to do so. Mention the wonderful app Cell 411, which I've. Not only promoted, but have been an avid user of for quite a while for obvious reasons. But a wonderful little app. I don't know if you guys have it and use it, but it is something that you can get for free, which is always a good thing on either Android or if you're one of the beautiful people and have an Apple, you know, an iPhone, you can get one. You can get it there too. But it's a great way to, we're talking about the festival and how to connect, have this connection with people. Well, this is a great way to connect with people close to you to help you out in situations instead of having to rely on, say the monopolized services of the state, which don't necessarily always have your best interest in mind. And, you can just set up a cell with them in your little app and reach them all at the push of a button. If something goes wrong, if your car breaks down, or if you happen to have a nurse in your circles and or a doctor and you have a medical emergency, or a road pirate pulls you over and tries to extort money from you, all of these things, there's actually specific buttons for all of those things. Actually, I believe maybe it doesn't say road pirate. That maybe that's what I had, just how I see it in my head, but. But yeah, so it's a great app, especially in the case of road pirates, you can video, you can record the whole interaction with the road pirate, and if say the road pirate tries to take your phone from you, which they've been known to do, and either try to smash it or try to turn it off and try to delete the video, not to worry. It will be safely stored on the Cell 411 servers, so you can retrieve it later, and the people and the cops, Road Pirates. All their work will be for naught.
Wah, wah, wah.
Yeah.
Sounds like a very good app to have for your safety.
Yes, especially for your safety, which, you know. Safeness is important, as I think we may actually touch on the next hour. But yeah, so if you don't already have it, please go to get cell411.com, check it out. Like I said, it's free. Doesn't hurt you to try it out, and it's a wonderful little tool. Could save a life, maybe yours. Worms.
Cell 411 is a great free app for Android and iPhone. It allows you to set up public and private cells for dealing with crime, emergencies, setting up neighborhood watch, activism, and even protecting your kids from bullies on the street or at school. Cell 411 gives your cells turn-by-turn directions to your location with one touch on your phone. There is also a Bluetooth panic button available that can be worn on your wrist, belt, or around your neck. Cell 411 has real-time chat for each alert so you can discuss the incident with family or friends in real-time video streaming. The video is stored on Cell 411's servers so your evidence cannot be deleted if your phone is taken or destroyed. Cell 411 has decentralized ride-sharing that allows for payment in any form, crypto, barter, silver, cash, etc. Cell 411 does not take a cut of your fare. Get Cell 411 free on Google Play and the iTunes Store, or go to getcell411.com. That's getcell411.com.
We got an intro around this place.
This is the Freedom Fiends, and we're yakking and snacking and talking and all that other stuff because of libertarian re-indoctrination centers where we beat the non-aggression principle into people.
You need to write one that went down. That's great.
That was a good one.
The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license, which allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org.
Yeehaw.
We are back. So this is Lou, and I got drunk and stumbled in the wrong radio show tonight. I'm just kidding.
Lou just keeps showing up everywhere.
I'm completely sober, and I stumbled into the wrong one. So I am joined by my good buddies, Jeremy, a.k.a. Murder Dog, and John Vibes, a.k.a. Do you have a wrestling name?
I forget what it was. They gave me one, but what it was.
That's just so perfect.
Wow, the stoner can't remember his name. Way to go.
Yeah. Way to live up to the stereotype, John. Thanks for bringing the rest of us down.
I have no problem with that. As I said this week, that I will embrace the stereotype, and I will never try to pretend I'm something I'm not.
Be true to yourself.
I will never try to be an upstanding member of society, and I will never pretend to be one.
Well, thank you for your service. Now, actually, John, you and I may have met, although briefly, but at Porkfest a couple years ago.
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, because my buddy Thomas was talking to you from notbeinggoverned.com.
Oh, yeah. I spent quite a bit of time with him.
Yeah. So, anyway.
Yes.
Are we going to start talking about the gun grabbiness?
Yeah, I think we avoided it enough. We covered some great subjects. You know, we covered one great subject in the first hour. So now the second hour, we're going to have to bring things down a little bit. Maybe not necessarily the way some people think. Because yes, unfortunately, there was another incident. What was it? A couple days ago now, where.
Mm-hmm.
Some individual who obviously was not right in the head went storming into a school and shot a bunch of people. And I think, was it 17 people were dead?
Yeah. Apparently, it was bad enough for abortion activists to cry about dead children.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I'm not taking a side in the abortion argument. I don't think that abortion should be outlawed, not because I think it's a good thing, but because I don't trust government to fix it any more than I trust them to fix mass shootings. But I just find the hypocrisy of these people to be at astronomical, monumental levels of weapons-grade stupidity.
Oh, well, yeah, yes, because the most vocal are the most insane. Everything they say is hypocritical, because, of course, the majority of them are, of course, the big crybabies on the left, and they're all screaming that something must be done, and the government must take people's guns, even though this is the same government that they've been screaming about that's run by the new Hitler, Trump. So
yeah. I don't get that.
Trump is literally Hitler, and Hitler has to disarm the entire civilian population.
Exactly. I've seen this story play out. I don't want to live it, all right?
These leftists must love cops and the current president, just with the way that they're acted.
Oh, yeah. The cognitive dissonance is just astronomical levels. And when you point out, say, you're not really upset about violence. You're upset about guns, and you're seeing this as an opportunity. Because if you look at the statistics, I believe hammers, knives, and automobiles each kill many, many, many more people each year than guns. And if you're really concerned about the number of deaths number of deaths period, then it would seem like a logically consistent thing for them to call out hammers, knives,
cars.
What else did I say? Yeah, cars. Possibly, yeah. Possibly wall-mounted electronic devices.
Yeah, instead of getting to the root of why our society is screwed up and why people feel the need to do these things, let's just, work around it and just try to deal with all these screwed up people and accept that our world is screwed up and just try to put Band-Aids on it.
Well, I tell you what, if you look at the statistics, you will see that this stuff is happening in public schools, not in private schools, not in religious schools, and definitely not in the home schools, but it's happening in the government schools.
And it's not happening in the mall or the arcade either, where they go to have fun.
Right. So, quite possibly, if it would save one child's life, I would be happy with the complete abolition of public schooling.
I totally agree, and I've been saying that since this happened, and a lot of people think I'm crazy to connect these two things, but, like, what is making these kids so angry? I remember when I was that age, and, yeah, I mean, I wasn't a psycho, so I didn't shoot up the school, but it filled me with a lot of anger, I'll tell you that.
I absolutely hated school, and I don't think that the experience prepared me for adulthood worth a darn. I found that it was just... how could I put it? You know what? I'm not even going to say what I was thinking because I don't have a proper way to put it. Let's just leave it at that. But I think when kids are under the pressure that you are under in school, and because there's a lot of pressure going on. Especially with the junior high school and the high school kids, because they're going through that change in their life, and they have all these hormones and chemicals going in their bodies that they don't understand. They have their voice changing. They got hair growing in places that they'd never seen before, and they're like, "What in the happy Halloween is going on?" And it's a very stressful time. I think when you look at throwing in all the other crap that goes on in there, I can see where that may have a tendency to stress people out a little bit more. Now, I'm 47, so I graduated in 1988, and it was nowhere near as bad as it is today. I think school shootings were pretty darn rare at the time, particularly the spree shooters. You may have had a fight in school that escalated to using weapons, but it was pretty rare. It was very few and far between.
It didn't get real big till Columbine, I don't think.
That's probably the first one that I remember. So I've been doing a little thought experiment on my own. And my question is, why is there such a violent culture these days? Why are people so enamored with violence? Why do they see violence as a way to solve problems or lash out or show that they're unhappy or whatever it is? I don't really know what all the causes are.
It's those darn video games and that Judas Priest music.
Well, I'm gonna go a little bit further. I'm gonna say that maybe it's not video games, movies, rap music, and fantasy, but quite possibly it's real life that's having an impact, because the society is a lot more violent. There's a lot of statistics that will show that in times of war.
Steven Pinker would disagree with you.
Who's Steven Pinker?
Oh, it's that guy that gave that TED talk about how
he wrote a book about it. The guy who wrote, was it Better Side of Our Angels or something along those lines.
But then his conclusion is that it's because of government. Yeah, I liked all of his premises. He's like, oh, yeah, things are so much better now. And then at the end of it, it's like, because we have government.
Yeah, he's a raging status. Sorry, Lou, I didn't mean to interrupt. Continue.
Okay. All right. Well, fortunately, I've been vaccinated against brain cancer, so that's not going to have a negative impact on me. But what I was saying was, statistics will show that in times of war, particularly prolonged war, you will see an increase in violence because the society becomes a lot more violent. This was evident following World War II through Vietnam. Vietnam was a much longer war, so it started before Vietnam ended. One, you have a lot of people coming back that have been engaged in violence for quite a while. And for those of you that are veterans out there that have been in combat, you know that you don't just flip a switch and turn it off and go back to being Joe Sixpack going to your day job. It's a very long process to get past that. It just doesn't happen overnight. So when you factor that in, and then you factor in what people are seeing on the evening news, here we have a time where people are cheering for drone strikes. People are cheering when particular people get killed in a drone strike, or when Bin Laden was captured. And Bin Laden was definitely a bad guy. Nobody that... You know, he's not deserving of a heck of a lot of sympathy out there, other than the basic, well, you know, he's a human being. But
maybe he's a human being.
Allegedly.
Fine, he could be a lizard. Who knows? He could be a cat, and he's got like 8 more times left. Who knows? Fine. I remember when Saddam Hussein got captured, and everybody was just cheering like crazy, and they cheered even harder when he was executed.
And then the whole thing with Gaddafi, we saw he died.
Yeah. So when you have government, when you have the so-called role models or the ones that, and I don't think that should be this way, but it is this way, when you have the people that set the particular values of a society worshiping those who commit acts of violence, and worshiping the violence itself, you shouldn't really be surprised when you have a lot of violence in your culture. Now, as a comparison, could you imagine if inventors and entrepreneurs got parades and got thanked for their service? And what if instead of worshiping government thugs and people that go out and commit acts of violence, what if people worshiped inventors? Now, what if that was promoted? What if starting a business was promoted and you weren't labeled as a greedy exploiter?
Do you think we would live in a vastly different world if that was the case. There
would probably be a heck of a lot less violence and a heck of a lot more inventions and entrepreneurship.
Yeah, I would think so. And to take
it a step further, the war on drugs has certainly created a much more violent culture. And I've only got a couple seconds to get into it. We'll cover more when we come back from the break. But the war on drugs has created an environment that incentivizes the use of violence to maintain drug territory and to obtain more territory. And if you look at the history of SWAT raids and the fighting of the war on drugs, it's been a nonstop escalation of violence that has been answered with more escalations of violence from the other side. But we'll be back.
Thanks, government.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Are you sick of seeing peaceful people being locked away for victimless crimes? Instead of trying to get out of jury duty, consider taking it so you can do the right thing. A single juror with a conscience can send someone home to their family instead of to a jail cell. If there's no victim, how can there be a crime? And if the judge or prosecutor are keeping you in the dark, what are they trying to hide? You can vote your conscience instead of being a pawn of the state. For more information, Google jury nullification or check out the Fully Informed Jury Association at fija.org.
Lie down, murder dog. We got more show to do here.
Cammy!
Yeah. What's up?
And we are back.
Yes, we are.
We are back. So, before we went to break, I'm just going to jump in here and take over for,
go like, for
30
it,
seconds. So, what I said yesterday, I talked about this a bit, and it was perceived as a bit inflammatory by some. And the reason that it was considered inflammatory is because people... One, they've never really considered this sort of thing. They go by the traditional talking points of, oh, it's the video games, or oh, it's that rap music or that heavy metal devil worshiping, blah blah blah, yeah, just whatever. And it also impacts their feelings of patriotism. So what I'm going to ask people to do is open your mind a little bit, start thinking with your a little bit more with your brain, a little bit less with your flag, because that's what a lot of people have a tendency to do. It's like, oh, no, you can't talk about my police and military. I don't care what they're doing. You can't talk bad about them. And I'm not specifically targeting them. And I am a veteran, so I do have an understanding of the violence that goes on in the military and the fact that this has been said many times. It's a soldier's job to kill people and break stuff, plain and simple. I'm not even the one that created that. That was probably created a long time before I was born. But what you have is when you have a society that worships violence, and when you have a society where violence is an everyday type of thing, if you look at the inner cities and if you look at the history of the SWAT raids, and particularly when it comes to the war on drugs, back in, I think, the late 60s, early 70s, when the SWAT teams first came out, you had like a couple across the country. You had Los Angeles Police Department.
LA was the first one in 60. I used to know this stuff because I studied this for a while, but yeah, it was the mid-60s that they started the first one.
So it was LAPD, and maybe a year or so later, another large department had it. Yeah.
Philly, I believe, was the second one.
But the purpose of SWAT, Special Weapons and Tactics, was to go into these particularly unbelievable, out of control, crazy situations that are not something that would normally be encountered. So you're talking about just the absolute Schumer hit the fan. It's a hostage situation. It's all these different things. It's
basically the Marines for the cops.
Yeah. But the thing is, it was the worst case scenario because it wasn't something that would happen on a regular basis. You wouldn't have SWAT raids going out and doing search warrants or arrest warrants or anything like that. You didn't have them taking down poker games like they do now. But eventually it was decided, hey,
or guitar manufacturers,
yeah,
or hey, raw we got milk these places, yeah, raw milk dairies, or, you know.
Yeah. Or, you know, somebody who's feeding the homeless without the mark of the beast. So eventually, and this is a little bit of an assumption on my part, but it's probably a pretty good assumption, you had these police departments and politicians saying, well, hey, we have these SWAT teams. Why should we leave them on the shelf like the fine china and only take them down once a year for a special holiday? No, let's use them a little bit more. I mean, they're trained, well, so we have to send them out there. Let's do this.
We have to justify their existence a little bit, right? You know, yeah, we'll just use them every once in a while. It'll be fine. Yeah.
And eventually you had small towns getting together and combining a SWAT team between two or three little small cities. You had every large city in the country had their own SWAT team, and not just the local police, but the sheriff's department, the state police, and everybody and their brother had their own SWAT team, and everybody wanted to play Delta Force.
And now most of the alphabet soup agencies all have their own too. The IRS has their own SWAT team. You know, the DEA obviously has their own SWAT team on top of their regular agents. Like, everybody's got their own SWAT team.
Yeah, and so you have all this violence that's being used to prosecute the war on drugs. And one of the interesting things, I heard Ben Stone talking about this on his podcast, the Old Bad Quaker podcast. One of the things that came about from the SWAT raids was that criminals would start impersonating SWAT teams, because when a SWAT team goes in, they kick in the door and they shout, you know, search warrant, get on the ground, and they go in there all hard and heavy. And that became a way for rival drug gangs to take out their competition. That became a way for people like Omar to steal Avon Barksdale's stash, to go in and pretend it was a SWAT raid. And so eventually the response to that was building man cages at the entrance, to where you had to, once you went through the front door, you had to go through the man cage, and it was a good place to get shot up. And all this violence of fighting the war on drugs resulted in more violence of the drug wars. We'll be back.
Vicious cycle, man.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
You know you want to be a filmmaker. As Rick of Rick and Morty says, school's not a place for smart people. Nowhere is this more true than film school. Don't waste years and $100,000 being taught by those who couldn't make it. Just get a camera and a $7 Kindle version of $30 Film School 3rd Edition. $30 Film School 3rd Edition is the recent update on the classic 2003 book that helped spark the do-it-yourself filmmaking revolution. Written by DIY filmmaker Michael W. Dean, whose high-quality, low-budget movies star Academy Award winners and nominees, get worldwide distribution, and have been in many respected film festivals. The first two editions sold over 100,000 copies, and it's recommended reading in many colleges. The book is back, updated for today's high-def consumer cameras, but still has the same self-starter ethic and tips that no other book has. Get it delivered this minute to your Kindle or phone for only $7. Go to Amazon and type in $30 Film School 3rd Edition. That's $30 Film School 3rd Edition.
And we're back. Talking about guns. No, what's been talking, you know, started talking about the school shooting, and Lou's been making a very interesting, but I think very good point about, you know, where this could possibly, you know, where the violence could possibly be coming from, when everybody's always looking for the, oh, how do we stop this, and why are these young kids so violent, and
let's ban something.
Well, that's always the answer, right? But yeah, you know, it is interesting, because, you know, you're talking about the fact that there is such this, you know, it is a violent culture, because there's this worship of the people, like the military and all this stuff. And I started thinking that I listened recently to a Dan Carlin episode, one of his hardcore history episodes, where he was talking about, you know, how things used to be, and how the societies were so violent because they used to watch, like, the live executions and torture of people in front of them. And, you know, he was kind of getting to the fact that we've gotten away from that, but when you talk about it in these terms, not really. You know, this, so suppose this is a civilized society, is not very civilized when they're grown up to idolize and also fear to a certain respect all these violent enforcers of the state, and like that type of attitude. So yeah, man, I could definitely see that having a lot more impact than video games. I mean, of course, I know it's anecdotal evidence, but I played video games for countless hours. I mean, I almost dropped out of college twice because of a specific video game. So, you know, like, I still never wanted to shoot anything up. So,
check you out.
I don't think it's necessarily, you know, despite what some people may think about me and my proclivity towards violence, I still never shot anybody up or injured anybody, despite taking part in all this other stuff that people think are the problem. So I think you're making good points here, Lou. I think it's...
Well, here's the thing. It's not a gun problem. Okay. It's very easy to blame an inanimate object. I frequently blame forks and spoons and cooking utensils for my rotundity, as Matt Lyons would call it. By the way, he's the congressman from Vermont that was incarcerated by John Adams for calling him his rotundity because John Adams was a bit portly. So
I have friends who blame the cocaine for their bank account.
Wow. So anyway, you can blame some inanimate objects, but some things that you have to take into consideration. Guns are not new. The rash of school shootings is over about the past 20 years. And when was the first war in Iraq? Was that 1991? And then it was an on-again, off-again slamming of cruise missiles anytime there was a news story that needed to get bumped out of the cycle. So, but anyway, guns are nothing new. When my father went to high school, there was an indoor shooting range at the school. And this wasn't out in the country. This wasn't out in Podunk or anything like this. It was a suburb of Detroit. Now, granted, it was the 50s, but still, you had people taking guns to school. Teachers and students used to show each other their guns out in the parking lot and compare them because they would go hunting or they were part of the shooting club, part of the shooting team, and it was not unusual for kids to have rifles and shotguns at school, particularly when they were in the shooting class or on the shooting team. So guns in schools are not. It's not something that hasn't happened in the past. Matter of fact, I saw a news clipping where a teacher and a student were sitting out in front of the school holding their rifles and shotguns while everybody else was in the class because a bomb threat there was a threat of violence that was called into the school. Nothing ever happened out of it, but they were sitting out front waiting, a teacher and a student.
Could you imagine the horror.
Could you imagine if that happened today?
Oh,
so
people would freak out.
So guns aren't new. Violence isn't even new. So why is it happening more now than it was back then? We talked about the government schools being basically prison camps and really twisting the minds of people. It's a horrible situation in there.
Yeah, it's not pretty.
So maybe that's a factor. Something else to ask would be how many of these kids are hopped up on these medications that are supposed to treat mental illness stuff. I can tell you for a fact right now that medication doesn't solve the problems of mental illness. It's a Band-Aid. You need actual therapy to get past depression, anxiety, and things like that. And so medications are just a part of it. I don't even know that I could call it a part of the treatment in many cases. It's kind of like a spotter for a weightlifter in many cases.
Yeah.
Now if somebody has like bipolar disorder or schizophrenia and they actually need the medications to keep them leveled out, okay. And there's going to be situations where that falls into place. But when you're talking about like regular depression, anxiety, things like that, a medication isn't going to solve your problems. It'll keep you balanced, but you still need to deal with the underlying issues that caused it. So what exactly is causing a more violent situation right now? So we've talked about the possibility of medications, and this is something that most people don't want to bring up, the physiological impact that medications can have on people.
It's another one of those ones most people recoil and try to claim that you can't blame it on that. No, you can't. You can't blame it on that inanimate object that actually has physically affects the individual taking it. But you can blame the inanimate object of the gun. Okay, I see how this works. Back to their hypocrisy again, which we were talking about earlier. But yeah, they did. It's definitely. I know every time something happens, one of these situations happens. one of the counter arguments does get rolled out is that it does seem to be the case that most of these shooters in these highly publicized cases do usually have a link to at least a number of these either antidepressant or even higher like antipsychotic drugs in their systems. You know, all the good stuff that usually lists side effects that, you know, include making the situation worse and like, you know, suicidal thoughts and death and stuff like that.
Okay. I'm going to do something here. It's probably not going to be popular with a lot of the listeners. I'm going to address the side effects. The side effect isn't that these medications make you commit suicide or make you commit murder. If you're dealing with somebody that has major depression, when they're in that state, they're largely debilitated, both physically and psychologically. And in that particular case, the antidepressant brings them up enough to where they're actually able to commit suicide, where when they're in the major depressive state, they were not psychologically or physically capable of committing suicide because that's how down they were. So they're actually too depressed to commit suicide. Well, I work in mental health, and I have a number of psychologists and psychiatrists within a beef jerky throw of me. So, or a donut too, depending on what day it is. So I'd asked a number of psychiatrists and psychologists about this because you always hear the medications are making them commit suicide. No, the underlying issue is making them commit suicide. Where the medications come in is where it may create the environment to where they may do what they were probably more likely or inclined to do in the first place.
So it's just the facilitator, not the cause.
Yeah, it's not the cause. It, for lack of a better term, it's a symptom of it.
Yeah, well, it's interesting. I never thought of it that way. That's definitely interesting.
But something else that you have to look at is, and this goes along with violent times. You see this a lot in the inner city where you have a lot of crime and a lot of violence. And you see this even in rural America during times of war. You have an increase of psychopathy during these time frames. And psychopathy is when a person lacks empathy for others and they will disregard the normal moral conventions that keep that create societal cohesiveness, I guess would be a good way of putting it. Kind of flowery, but they turn it into crazy bleepers. that's the layman's
that's
less
the technical,
technical
term.
Terms.
Yeah. Oh, I thought that was a technical term. My bad.
Yeah. So, here's an example for you. If you've seen any of these Los Angeles gang movies, Menace to Society, Boys in the Hood, you see a lack of respect for human life. And what that is, it's a example of psychopathy. And when you're in that particular environment where life has less value because of the incentives that are out there, you know, it could be the incentives of maintaining drug territory and obtaining more. It could be the incentive of, well, hey, if I don't kill them, I might get killed. So it's the incentive of you have to use violence to prevent violence against yourself. It's, you know, it's really a self-perpetuating situation. It's a cycle.
Yeah, it absolutely is.
Yeah, I think there's definitely something to be said for that, and also just generally the fact that violence is seen as the solution to problems in our society, and that people who use violence, as you were alluding to earlier, are the heroes.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if you've seen a number of SWAT raids in your neighborhood, or if you've seen SWAT raids on TV and you see people going in guns blazing to solve a problem, so to speak, well, hey, it must be okay to do that. And there are a small number of people that aren't gonna say, oh, well, this is a good way to do it, and if I had a shiny badge, I could do it too. No, they're gonna say, hey, this is a good way to do it, and I'm gonna do it too, because such a small percentage of the population actually commits this violence that we're looking at here, and it's a minuscule amount of the population.
Yeah, but absolutely.
But because of the severity, people freak out over it.
Yeah, and I think because of the randomness of it, like, with the systematic oppression, it's like every day, all day, guaranteed. But the chance that one shooting might happen at some random point in the year that you can't predict for some reason is more scary to people.
Well, people like predictability. People like to have a comfort zone to where they're not going to have to worry about crazy stuff happening to them. They want security. It's one of, if you're familiar with Maslow and his hierarchy of needs, safety, security is part of that hierarchy. That's something that's very important to people. And when you see this stuff, even on the news, that violates people's need to feel safe and secure. We'll be back.
Arms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself.
A groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean, available on Amazon.
Your house is your property.
And we're back for the final segment. And we've spent most of this hour talking about, you know, the recent shooting and the school shooting. And Lou was dropping some mad scientists about, you know, possible actual causes of this, unlike, you know, the usual garbage that people just bring out every time, the retread stuff that's not actually true. But, you know, since we usually try to do redemption in the third act, figure maybe we could talk possible, you know, take this a little further and talk, you know, what we could do as possible solutions. And as it turns out, a lot of the things that I think are really good solutions are things that, you know, we usually talk about as good ideas for a free society in general. It's weird how that works out, but, you know, because we kind of mentioned earlier the problem with the schools, the school system. I mean, yeah, number one, aside from the fact that these shootings always take place at the public schools, at the, you know, the government schools and not the private schools, as you mentioned early on in this conversation, Lou, whatchamacallit, the just the atmosphere, like, I actually have a rather long article at this point. I think it's turned into almost 10 pages. Something I've been working on for a couple of years now that I finally got around to finishing. But it kind of goes into this about the whole bully culture that's created in the government school system, which just goes to exacerbate the violent culture that you were describing, Lou, with, you know, the growing up to kind of worship and fear the enforcer class, which is built upon violence and stuff like that, and to cheer that type of stuff on. You know, you put those things together, it just makes it even worse. So, you know, getting your kids away from these situations for both reasons. Number one, because of the environment that it's creating and what it could do to your children, what it's doing to other children. But also because, unfortunately, since there are going to be random acts of violence, no matter how much you try to protect your kids or yourself or anything, there's always going to be bad actors. That's just that is just a fact of life. That's just kind of human nature. There's always going to be the people that are a little bit off and will do bad things. And if you're putting them in a situation where they're guaranteed to have, you know, something bad happen to them because they're not allowed to, nobody is allowed there to protect them or themselves because of the gun-free zones and stuff, you know, that's a real problem. As much as people don't, the people on the left and stuff don't like to hear that. I got into an argument with one of them on Twitter today about that, which I normally try not to do, but he just, you know, he called me some names after just reading my meme, and I was just like, really, man? But it is, it's a problem that people are defenseless in those situations, so that doesn't help either. I think that's a good one. That's definitely, you know, number one. Number two, stop encouraging people to worship this violence, and, you know, cheering the death of people halfway across the world because you think they did something bad to you based on what your government said is not a good thing. You know.
I'd like to throw out a couple of ideas here.
And yes, please, Luke, go ahead.
Time, so I'll try to be quick. Einstein once said that if you do the same thing over and over again and expect a different outcome, that's a true definition of insanity. And he also said that you should never use the same thinking to attempt to solve your problems that you use to create them. I think as far as the gun hysteria goes, there's a couple things that could be done. If you look at Switzerland is a country that has a gun culture to it. Everybody owns firearms there. As a matter of fact, I believe it might even be mandated, and you don't have firearms violence there. There's a few countries in the world that you don't have firearms violence, and it's a culture of firearms. There's guns all over the place, but you don't have the violent behavior. So it's a violence problem, not a gun problem. But I think part of the solution would be to, one, not be afraid of inanimate objects. Sigmund Freud allegedly said that a fear of weapons is a sign of emotional and sexual retardation.
Wow.
People that are afraid of firearms, they're afraid of an inanimate object, or weapons in general, be it a knife or whatever. Get familiar with these things. Take a class. Teach your children about it. Teach your children the respect for firearms. Because, quite frankly, and this is purely anecdotal, what I'm seeing is the kids that are doing this, these aren't the ones that are brought up around firearms. They're not the ones that are taught a culture of safety and respect for these weapons.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
And also, quit worshiping violence. You get what you promote.
Hear, hear.
To all you inventors and business owners, thank you for your service. Let's throw a parade for those folks. Privately funded, of course.
Well, I can get behind that. Great show, guys. Thank you for joining me tonight. Thanks for drunkenly showing up, Lou. For more of us, go to freedomfeeds.com.
Worms.